Inspiring solutions to save America, one show at a time. Are you ready to get on board?
They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump. Desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. Which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again.
From sea to shining sea, 3 hours of bold truth and excellence. The Wendy Bell Radio Program.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio Program. As always, delighted to be with you. Make sure you get our app, Wendy Bell Radio Network. You can follow along on the live stream. Also the podcast, Wendy Bell Radio. I don't know if it makes me a good parent or a bad parent or just a different kind of parent, but I've never tracked and monitored my kids. I've never tracked their cell phones. I've never broken in their bedrooms and hunted for stuff. I don't have some kind of a GPS tracker on the car. I think that it's important that they realize they have to be trusted, but that trust is earned. And if they don't do things that are wrong, and I'm not snooping around trying to aha catch them, we could have a pretty good relationship. These are my rules. This is how I expect you to behave. And you will. And that's where the agreement ends. Like, I don't know what else you want me to say. After 18, you do you. But while you're in my house, my rules, I'm not going to go hunt and peck and surveil you. We have a government that surveils us. If you think you're not on a list somewhere and you've been to a Donald Trump rally, or you've retweeted or retruthed something that he has written, or you've written something on social media in even vague terms that isn't completely with the narrative, they know who you are. They know what you are. You're already in a box. They pay attention to everything. You have a federal government that went to Meta, to Instagram, asking for data about those of us who write about certain subjects on our social media platforms. They want the granular data. These are the same people who, after 9/11, used the Patriot Act or any other these legislative measures under the guise of threats to security, right? There's always that overarching, oh, no, we've got to do this or else something really bad's going to happen, which is code for we suck and we want to spy on you. And that's what they've been doing. And this video, this undercover video we played for you yesterday, and we'll get into the next chapter of that later on in the broadcast, was of a guy who's a CIA official of some capacity. He used to work for the FBI. He's ostensibly on a date with a guy he does not know is recording him. And he's boastful and talking about what the CIA does to entrap honest people and allow them to hang themselves, ostensibly and literally and figuratively. So yesterday there's this vote. You've got this Section 702 of this Foreign Surveillance Act, right? And members of Congress want this to be extended. Trump did something back in 2018, didn't really reform it all that much. It's up for review like April next week, right? And so there's this scramble to pass this idea that because of all of these foreign wars that this administration has managed to spark and meddle in, we need our federal government to have the ability to spy on whomever the hell they want without going to a judge and saying, well, this is what we think is going on. This is why we want to do this. This is the parameters of what we're searching for. I mean, clearly they want full federal access to everything that we do. They wiretapped Donald Trump. They spied on his freaking campaign. These are not things that are negotiable. It is fact. And so yesterday, 17 House Republicans tanked this measure, which would allow this to continue, this warrantless, basically borderless power for the CIA, the FBI, whoever the hell wants to in the alphabet agencies of government, dig into you and what you do. That's gross. So this is very important. Here's this article from the Washington Examiner, because we've got to talk about these 17 Republicans. You are being shown in the court of public opinion every single day with people awakening to things like C-SPAN and paying attention to these House votes. I've told you, I never once looked at C-SPAN or government access as anything other than boring as all get out. But it's so fascinating because these people cannot hide from their votes. And more Americans are paying attention to how their elected representatives are voting. Don't say that you're conservative and then vote alongside the liberals. So this is the headline. House FISA bill tanked by hardliners in latest blow to Speaker Johnson's leadership. I care not about Mike Johnson. They have to have Mike Johnson. He can't be quote unquote overthrown, because it can't even be possible that House leadership can be switched over to the Democrats. Here's the story. Hardline House Republicans tanked a procedural rule vote that would begin debate on reauthorizing Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, effectively leaving the House at a standstill just 9 days before the key surveillance law expires. No, we don't like this. Don't tell us that, oh, the deadline's come up and we really haven't had enough time, you know. It's sort of like the omnibus. We're going to wait until the 11th hour on the last minute. Oh, no, government shutdown. Hurry, hurry, hurry. You'll have to pass it to see what's in it. No, suck it. We're done with that. Facts. Republican leaders hoped in advance or to advance the FISA reform yesterday. But the measure failed after it was 19. I said 17. It was 19 Republicans joining all the Democrats in tanking the rule. Now, the vote, which failed 193 to 228, is the latest blow to Speaker Mike Johnson. La, 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 la. I don't care so much about that as I care why this happened. Advancing a rule, and this is us learning government 101, right? Advancing one of these rules is a procedural move that's typically voted along party lines and rarely fails on the House floor. However, House Republicans have weaponized the procedure several times over the last year, voting to stall action on the floor whenever they disagree with GOP leadership. These Republican hardliners tanked three rule votes under former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, Wednesday's failed vote of the FISA thing, the surveillance thing, marks the fourth under Mike Johnson. Now, this is where things get interesting. Former President Donald Trump came out in opposition to the FISA proposal earlier on Wednesday, making things more complicated for Johnson and prompting some of his closest allies in Congress to reconsider their position. This goes to show the power of this new wing of the Republican Party. It is the unraveling of the Republican establishment. We don't want you anymore. You got us into unnecessary wars. You lied about weapons of mass destruction. You have voted alongside the Democrats so often. Hi, 101 House Republicans who just did in the mini bus package that's going to cost us $1.2 trillion, send billions more to Ukraine and not do crap for our southern border. And 101 House Republicans went along with it. There is a fracturing in the party that is necessary. It is an unraveling. So Trump comes out and he says, no, don't allow this to limp across the finish line. Tank it. This is the very thing that they did to spy on my campaign. I told you. I told freaking Leslie Stahl in 2020. They wiretapped me, Leslie. No. No, Mr. President. No, they didn't. Yes, they did. This is 60 Minutes, which is when 60 Minutes started to unravel. So who are these Republicans? I'll read you the last names because you'll know their names. These are the people who see the MAGA vision for the Republican Party, who see the playbook that Donald Trump envisions to pull us out of this chapter of suck. Here are their names. Good, Luna, Norman, Burchett, Boebert, Gosar, Gates, Bishop, Cloud, Crane, Higgins, Roy, Rosendale, Mills, Mace, Stuby, and Biggs. You hear a lot of the same names again and again. Remember their names. Pay attention to the people in your district. How did they vote? Look, if Donald Trump is saying, this is bad, get rid of it, who else do you trust? There is no one to trust except the people who have the plan and the playbook and the binder with all of the details of Crossfire Hurricane, who plan to declassify and ostensibly make public to all of us how freaking dirty these scumbags are. The power of Trump. Well, Joe Biden gets dunked on in a big bad way. And this is by undecided voters on MSNBC. Mika Brzezinski's face melts off before your very eyes and ears. Next. It's fantastic. On the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So CNN started it, this unraveling in the court of public opinion. You can only run from the actual story for so long. When your ratings collapse, when your advertising dollars dry up, when you start paring away from your bottom line big names, Chris Cuomo, Don Lemming, I know his name is Lemon, but he is what he is. Don Lemming, Brian Stelter, and now we hear on the chopping block after the November election, Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer, right? Anderson Cooper, all of these voices. We've been telling you the wrong story on purpose. They've been propagandizing. You know, you can't do it forever. Because enough people, when the tide finally turns, they push back and you either are going to report the truth or you're going to be lost in its wake. And it's really lonely when you can't catch a wave after the wake. This is a panel. This is MSNBC's Morning Joe. And Joe Scarborough, I don't even think he factors into this particular clip. His wife, though, Mika Brzezinski, does. And it's the whole panel is about, or the sound bites are, independent voters, undecided voters, I should say, what undecided voters are saying to MSNBC about Joe Biden. You would imagine that the lion's share would like him because this is all they tell us on MSNBC, how great these Democrat policies are. Listen.
The undecided voters were also asked how they think President Biden is doing on the economy. Take a listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Please raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody. President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of? Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but You can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to you know, invest and start moving around.
And Virginia, just staying with you, because Pennsylvania is near and dear to Joe Biden's heart. Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down. But like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward.
Even if you're trying to buy a house, because I'm trying to become a first-time home buyer, the prices are so high right now. It's just hard.
Is there anything Joe Biden could do or say between now and the time you vote that would make you feel differently about feeling that his policies would not be as good for your family on the economy? Or are you pretty much decided that Trump's policies would be better for the economy?
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability. Like, he's in denial that it's happening.
The point is, Biden needs to hear the people, because when he's talking about the economy doing stellar, he's talking about the stock market. He's not looking at homelessness or joblessness. He's not, at Angie's point, thinking about how much it costs to go to the grocery store. And he's gaslighting literally everyone in the process.
And Omar, you voted for Joe Biden last time, right?
Yeah.
Some really important and hard insights for the Biden campaign to hear there. And hearing all that, you might think things are pretty bad for President Biden. That was not good.
Things are pretty bad for Joe Biden, because he's made things pretty bad for America. If those are undecided voters, and there's a percentage of undecided voters that's somewhere in the single digits. If this is what 9 undecided voters unanimously say, they all raise their hand because it's obvious they were doing better under Donald Trump. You can only spin this so many which ways, right? And we're done being spun. We're done being told we're racist. We're done being told that there's national threats, security threats that require access without a warrant into whomever, because it's a danger. We're done with that. You've abused us. You've lied to us. And the media now, smacked in the face with the reality from people who, at least if you roll the dice, should 50-50 like Joe Biden over Donald Trump. Look, I'm tired of playing to not lose. I'm tired of dancing around the fire. I want to play to win. I want to play to save this place. I want to play to make it right again. I want to live up to that destiny, to that promise I made my children, that I will do everything in my fiber to leave you a place worthy of you. That's not playing to not lose. We've got to go for it now. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, this whole impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas and the Senate doing something that's never been done before because they know we're on to them. Don't miss this conversation next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So there's a lot of talk about Alejandro Alex Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security Secretary. This is the guy, he's like the axis of evil. He is a bad liar. He is a sanctimonious hack. He is disastrous foreign policy-wise, and he has lied for 3.5 years about the reality at the border. They realize that the only game plan they have on the socialist, communist, progressive, Marxist left is to blame anything that they do that everybody gets onto and hates on Donald Trump. Inflation, that's because of Donald Trump. Gas prices, that's Donald Trump's fault. The whole world is racist because of Donald Trump, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not working. And so you've got House Republicans, many of whom are mealy-mouthed, vanilla, white bread, plain Cheerios, zeros, finally waking up and realizing, you know what, we should probably take some action here. So I want to read you what's going on with this whole last 2 days, Alejandro Mayorkas has been before the House, and he was before the Senate. He was before the House on Tuesday to defend his budget. And the budget is a big budget. Don't you guys think under the branch, the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security would be securing the freaking homeland? One would think that's not what his objective is. It's not about building a wall. It's not about making a barrier. It's not about root causes. It's not about the inhumane treatment of people. Because if these people were about goodness and fairness and what is right and what is safe and what makes sense and supporting families and doing it lawfully, none of this crap would be going on, because you don't turn a blind eye to the absolute atrocities that have been allowed because of this administration. Giving hope to people all over the world to scrounge together their life savings, to give that money to a scoundrel, a coyote, a travel advisor, a member of the cartel. Give me safe passage. We won't give you safe passage. We'll give you passage, but you will be raped along the way. You will be battered. You will be abused. And if you're lucky, you get where you go. And that'll be that. And we have tens of thousands of people who are lost, who are migrant children, and this administration doesn't care. They just don't care about anything. So Mayorkas is in front of this House panel, judiciary.
I believe it's Senate.
That was yesterday. Oh. On Tuesday, they were before the House. And this is the budget talk. And I think you need to understand where this is all going. Not only are you screwing us over by opening the border and welcoming all these people and charging us for it, you want more money. And you want to take money from Customs and Border Patrol. And you want to create a slush fund so that any kind of extra expenses that pop up from that open revolving door turnstile like Disney World down at the southern border, you can use to cover, which is really a grift, because all of this is a giant money laundering operation. So the House Committee on Homeland Security, the chairman, Mark Green, released a statement after Mayorkas appeared talking about his 2025 budget request. 3 years into this administration, the threats to the homeland are growing by the day, in many cases as a result of President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas' utter refusal to secure our borders. Nobody with eyes who sees even peripherally the flow, the onslaught, the trampling of our sovereignty that is made okay by this administration, if you're not paying attention, right? So do you want to know how much money Mayorkas wanted? He wants a $4.7 billion slush fund, euphemistically called the Southwest Border Contingency Fund. $4.7 billion next year to facilitate more madness at the border. $4.7 billion, which will be funded by taking from Customs and Border Patrol, by taking from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, by taking Federal Emergency Management Agency baseline budgets, that's FEMA, money from all of these agencies to go towards facilitating the border crisis through funding processing centers and coordinators, illegal alien transportation, and more. We're going to steal from the very people who are already strapped so that we can continue bringing in people on the taxpayer's dime. And Alejandro Mayorkas went before the House and presented that in his budget. Okay? So that's the backdrop of this one thing, which brings us to a critical moment in this House hearing. Representative Ashley Hinson says to Alejandro Mayorkas a very important question as they're talking about the budget, because Mayorkas has refused to say that the border is a crisis, that is a calamity. They haven't said that until, I guess, enough polling came out and showed them getting clobbered in the court of public opinion on immigration. Listen.
I do understand the challenges at the border, and I certainly don't dance around them. As a matter of fact,
would you call it a crisis at the southern border?
Yes, I would. And as a matter of fact, I work every single day with the men and women in the Department of Homeland Security to only strengthen the security of our southern border as well as a northern border.
Right. It's all garbage. So yesterday's before the Senate, and there's this idea House is going to be walking over next week. This article of impeachment for Alejandro Mayorkas. This has happened 21 times in America's history. Four of those times, the person accused either recused themselves, quit, whatever it was. The other 17 times, the Senate had to vote on articles of impeachment. Chuck Schumer is saying he's going to table that. So there is no vote. No vote. That's not how the Constitution lays out the branches of government and the job of the Senate. The job of the House, sending over the articles to the Senate. The Senate, as the high chamber, voting on that. Chuck Schumer doesn't want his Senate Democrats, who are in precarious situations because of this administration's failures these last 3.5 years, to go on record and say, you know what, we don't think that Alejandro Mayorkas should be held accountable for the chaos of the millions of people who've been allowed into this country illegally, who make us all unsafe, who gobble up our resources. Because the number one thing people are talking about is immigration. Listen to, this is Senator John Kennedy. He's asking about to Alejandro Mayorkas in this Senate hearing yesterday. Can't you admit that this flood of people at the border is purposeful for you guys so that you can gobble up more electoral votes in specific necessary districts? Listen to the question. Listen to Mayorkas pretend to be dumb. And listen to the give and go.
Isn't it true, Mr. Secretary, that the number of illegal immigrants that you and President Biden have allowed into our country counts for allocating electoral votes?
Same answer.
Okay. You don't know?
I don't understand your question.
Never crossed your mind?
The notion, Senator, that we intend to allow illegal immigration is nothing short of preposterous.
So you do understand my question.
And if I may.
Oh my goodness. You think it's purposeful? Well, then Kennedy continues. We all know what's going on here, dude. Listen.
And it's a fact, and you know it, and I know it, that the more people you allow into our country illegally, the more people are counted for reapportionment. And the more people that you allow into our country illegally, the more people are counted for allocating electoral votes. Now, maybe that's a coincidence, but that's a fact. And you know that. And you've done nothing for 4 years. Nada. Zero.
Absolutely.
Zilch.
You are a hack. Now, listen, I want to read this to you. It's a Wall Street Journal opinion piece. It was written by Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, obviously staunch conservatives in the Senate. And it's called The Senate's Duty to Put Mayorkas on Trial. And it says Schumer's plan to table his impeachment violates the chamber's rules as well as the Constitution. When House Speaker Mike Johnson sends the Senate the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is obligated to prepare for a trial. Instead, Mr. Schumer plans to offer a motion to table the articles of impeachment by majority vote. Well, the Constitution, Senate rules, and precedent are clear. The Senate has an obligation to vote on articles of impeachment. In the nation's history, there have been 21 instances in which the House has sent articles of impeachment to the Senate. In three of those cases, the official who was impeached had left office, so the Senate did not proceed. In the other 18 cases, including Donald Trump's second impeachment, which the House delivered after his term ended, the Senate conducted a trial and senators ultimately voted guilty or not guilty. That is the process demanded by the Constitution and clearly laid out in the Senate rules. During its ordinary business, the Senate routinely takes up motions to table legislation and other matters. But when sitting as a court of impeachment, the chamber operates under special rules that resemble a court's process to preserve justice, to protect the accused person's due process rights, to ultimately render judgment on the charges. The impeachment rules have no provision for a motion to table. You can't just make it up, Chuck. Republicans have respected this process. We were in the majority during President Trump's first impeachment in 2020. We fulfilled our constitutional duty and held a full trial on the floor. Now that the shoe is on the other foot, Senate Democrats are trying to destroy yet another precedent and further politicize the impeachment process. They want to avoid an uncomfortable election year discussion about President Biden's biggest failure, the U.S. southern border invasion. Democrats will shatter another norm and set a dangerous precedent that they are going to regret. Why? Because Mr. Schumer wants to prevent the House impeachment managers from presenting evidence of the disaster that has unfolded on the southern border. Because Mr. Mayorkas refuses to follow the law. He wants to avoid news coverage of how bad the border crisis is. He also wants to insulate Democrats from having to vote guilty or not guilty. By tabling these articles of impeachment, Democrats don't have to go on the record either admitting that Mr. Mayorkas is violating the law or condoning his actions and failure to act. So when we come back, let's finish this conversation and bring it full circle. You don't get to make up the rules, Democrats, because the boomerang, when it comes back, it deals a mighty blow. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So I got a little Ted Cruz, a little Marsha Blackburn sound for you. Before I hit that, let me finish this Wall Street Journal article written by Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, of course, Mike Lee, the senator from Utah. They wrap it up by saying that Mr. Schumer would shirk the Senate's constitutional duties and defy 200 years of precedent. Demonstrates how terrified the Democrats are that the American people will realize the vast human suffering their open border policies have produced. I mean, we talk about it regularly here on this program. It's sometimes hard for me to wrap my mind around the idea that people don't know. They don't realize what's going on out there. Mr. Schumer has an incentive to pretend that the charges against Mr. Mayorkas are baseless as American outrage at the unprecedented invasion of millions across our southern border endangers Mr. Biden's reelection and Mr. Schumer's majority. Americans shouldn't take his word for it. They should demand a trial. That is how evidence is presented. That is how facts are gleaned. But if you look at the January 6th committee and their idea of a hearing, it's entirely one-sided. You know this. You've gone through it. I want you to hear Marsha Blackburn. She says, of course, the reason Chuck Schumer doesn't want to vote, he doesn't want a trial, is he doesn't want to have his members, Democrats, be put on the record for voting whether or not Alejandro Mayorkas is a scumbag and has jeopardized the safety and the sovereignty of this country, which we all know the answer is yes. Here's Marsha Blackburn.
We all know that Chuck Schumer is playing politics with this. He has members that are very likely going to lose their seats, and he does not want them to have to take a vote on this. He also knows that the border and the lack of border security is the number one issue with the American people. I hear it in Tennessee every day. So Chuck Schumer is trying to be too cute by half and devise a way to not have a trial.
Bingo. Simple as that. And Ted Cruz says this, of course they want to avoid the subject because this is a humanitarian disaster. And he says because he has seen it in his own Texas district. Go.
And listen, the reason the White House is desperately trying to avoid this topic is because Joe Biden and the Democrats' open borders is a disaster. It's a humanitarian disaster. I spent a lot of time in South Texas. No one who sees the body bags, the children who are brutalized, the women who are raped, you can't defend this anymore. It's a public safety disaster. We're seeing over and over again murderers and child rapists being released by Joe Biden going on to kill Americans, and it is a national security disaster. You know, we've got a war in the Middle East. We've got Iran pledging retaliation against the United States, and Joe Biden and the Democrats have opened up our southern border as an invitation to terrorists. I got to tell you, Sean, I think we have a greater risk right now of a major terrorist attack than we have had any time since September 11th. All of that together explains why Chuck Schumer desperately, desperately, desperately wants to avoid a trial on Alejandro Mayorkas's impeachment.
And as quickly as it seems everybody has dropped that bizarre container ship plowing right into and destroying the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, if something goes seriously sideways in this country before November, if the Biden administration thinks that the American people won't hold them duly accountable, they're mistaken. Now, this is interesting in the Washington Examiner today. This is somewhat cool because the GOP in the Senate doesn't seem to be sitting down taking this. Senate GOP plots maximum pain for Democrats dismissing Mayorkas' impeachment trial. I mean, don't lose sight of the fact that if Chuck Schumer decides to wave his magic wand and use some kind of majority provision in the high chamber to table an impeachment hearing and vote, which is mandated and specified in the United States Constitution, that changes everything. This is, I'll just read you a couple paragraphs of this article. Democrats appear to have the votes needed to dismiss an impeachment trial for Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, but Republicans plan to make that dismissal as painful as possible with a series of maneuvers designed to slow down business on the Senate floor. The chamber will receive the two articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, who stands accused of willfully ignoring federal immigration law, sometime next week. As of now, the tentative plan is for House managers to walk them over on Tuesday, according to three GOP senators briefed on the matter. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer will swear senators in as jurors for what ordinarily would be a trial of Mayorkas, but he is widely expected to move to table the articles. Such a tactic would allow Democrats to avoid a drawn-out spectacle that would draw attention to the crisis at the southern border, as though that isn't already happening. However, Senate conservatives are weighing what one Senate GOP staffer called a death by a million paper cuts approach to retaliation that delays the proceedings or even slows floor business in the weeks that follow. Senate Republicans have reacted with outrage at the idea of skipping a trial, a move that would be unprecedented in the history of the Senate. Those Republicans, led by Senator Mike Lee, are proposing 15 points of order they would raise once jurors are sworn in, according to the three sources. They've also asked leadership to give a recorded vote on ongoing resolutions that would convene a trial either on the Senate floor or through a select committee. They are planning on, no matter what, come hell or high water, Senate Republicans, to force votes on various measures so that, like a covey, the Democrats can be flushed out and exposed for exactly who and what they are. When we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, hour number three, NPR strikes back. They strike back the only way progressives could, after an editor said the news organization is so biased. Wait for it, next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.